Good evening, everybody, and welcome to tonight's city council meeting. Ah, thanks for stopping by. There we go. I know. Just anytime you want. It's very, real easy tonight.
Thanks.
I'm Bob Piper. I'm the councilman from the second ward. I'll be leading tonight's meeting. We're going to start with attendance. Let's see who's here tonight. Everyone except Alderman Dantino is present. We'll consider the consent agenda.
Move to approve the minutes of October 10th.
Second.
Wonderful. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Fantastic. Let's get to our first item of business, and I'm going to defer to our illustrious mayor to do so.
Well, thank you, Alderman. I hope I have the same agenda as you do, right?
Yeah, we are going to administer the oath of office to police
officer. This is very exciting. You know why this is exciting? Because you're an Augustana graduate. That's why it's exciting.
Oh, my God.
Are you an Augie grad as well? Are you really?
Jeez.
We're all Augie grads?
Oh, settle in, folks. It's going to take a little while.
We're going to give you two guns. Awesome, man.
Snap time.
Why don't you stand up and introduce... this is our new officer who's being sworn in this evening. This is very, very exciting. You know our community development director is an Augustana grad as well?
I did not know that.
Where's Mr. Runch? Where is he?
That's why he showed up.
Class of 1971. He was a Gab. Were you in one of those groups?
I was an Alpha Sig.
Come on up to the podium, big guy. An Alpha Sig. What's that?
They were there a little bit after your time. They started.
I like this officer.
You don't have the badge yet, brother.
You're the first cop suspended before he got sworn in, for God's sake. Alpha Sig, no kidding. I was just there this weekend, as was Mr. Unch. I was there celebrating my 25th reunion. Mr. Unch was there celebrating his 105th. It's a beautiful campus. Great stuff.
Yes.
So please introduce us to all the special guests with you this evening.
All right. Sitting to my right is my wife, Vicky, who is also an Augie grad, who celebrated her 5th homecoming reunion this weekend.
So you're an 06 grad.
Yes.
I'm an 05.
I've got the cheat sheet. It says you were held back twice. That's good.
My father, Mike, and Cheryl, and in front row, my brother-in-law, Toby, and my little niece, Allison.
Awesome.
And then behind is my sister, Tina, and my mother and father-in-law, Odie and Bob.
Now, Dad's an Augie grad?
77.
Look at that. This is good living, man. So you're a Treadway generation guy. Yeah, as are Dick and I, so that was the president back then. We're doing well.
Thanks for rounding that off for me.
So, Ryan, I've got some information on you.
Okay.
Says here you were not our first choice. I'm kidding you, for God's sake. Relax.
If it was my first choice,
the Alpha Sigs had a sense of humor, didn't they, for God's sake?
They do.
What, is it just Alpha Sig?
Alpha Sigma Xi.
Alpha Sigma Xi?
Yes.
ASZ?
Yes.
I'm not going to say a word about anything. Date of birth, September 29th.
Yes.
1982.
Oh, my God. That tie is older than that.
That's something? That's the year I graduated high school. How depressing is this? Graduate of James B. Conant High School. Beautiful Hoffman Estates. Wow. So what did you do in high school that made you special?
I was on the cross-country track teams. I swam and played a little baseball. Yeah, and I was in the marching band, too, so I was
pretty busy. What instrument in the marching band?
The trombone.
No kidding. And you were a swimmer. What was your specialty?
Butterfly.
Really?
Yes.
And it's the shoulders.
Yes.
Life is good. Wow. That's all I got. Okay. Dad and Mom, very proud?
Definitely.
Now, do you have police officers in the family?
No.
You do not. So you're the first police officer in your family.
Yes.
Is that right? And what inspired you to become a police officer?
I was looking for a career change and
really?
I started looking more into police work and started really thinking hardly about it and that I wanted to do it. And so I started testing and here I am today.
It doesn't say what you did prior to.
I worked in the IT department for a human resources company.
That's got to be riveting.
it It was fun.
Really?
First lie.
For a major corporation kind of thing?
Hewitt Associates.
Oh, yeah, up in Lincolnshire.
Yes.
Wow, you made that commute?
Well, that's why I was living in Palatine. It was a little closer.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So now I need to move a little closer this way.
And what did your colleagues say at Hewitt, saying, well, you want to be a cop? What?
They thought it was good for me, and they were excited, and they said whatever town I was working for, to let them know.
Man, we got a bunch of consultants coming to Geneva now, for God's sake. Is that right? Wow. Well, without further ado, I know we have our city clerk with us this evening. Where is our city clerk? There he is. Mr. Landberg. Mr. Landberg is also an Eagle Scout. We share this with everybody who comes to City Hall.
Yes.
The city clerk is going to administer the oath to you.
Okay.
And we would invite you to invite whomever you'd like to stand with you as that oath is administered. No. Do you want to guess what year the Mr. Landberg became an Eagle Scout? And if you use the word before my time.
Here's the easy part. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. Hi, Ryan Erickson.
Hi, Ryan Erickson.
Having been appointed to the office of police officer.
Having been appointed to the office of police officer.
In the city of Geneva.
In the city of Geneva.
County of Kane, aforesaid.
County of King, aforesaid.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties. Of the office of police officer according to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
That's got his wallet. That was.
So you're destined for me to be out there. Pleasure to meet you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Dan, how are you, man? Congratulations. I was going to say, when I went there, it was only like 20 grand a year.
I went there as less than 20 grand for all 4 years.
Oh, no.
My God, you're old. I was an honorary Ozo.
Okay.
Remember those punks?
Pretty good.
Ozo. No kidding.
His wife.
They always wore ties.
No. Those are the Pubas. Right, Dick? Those are the Pubas.
Oh, okay.
Those guys are all
right. Yeah, I got
it. By all means, go out and celebrate this evening. You don't need to stick around.
Yeah. You're still there, Pipe.
Congratulations.
Good name.
Oh, my God. I think I did
bring
it
to anyone.
Yes,
we
did. Pubas, huh?
Yeah,
almost
lost at the river.
That's why. Went
fishing.
Midland Bank is having a program too. I won't be there.
British. I don't know.
Sorry for my.
Try
this.
Why doesn't my agenda fall in line with the agenda?
We're going to skip to item C. This is Mary Brittany Schmitz, could not be with us tonight. She's ill. So we're going to go to recommend the approval of the Chamber of Commerce request for the 2011 Christmas Walk.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Vogelsberg. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Item D, recommend draft ordinance amending Title 10, Chapter 4, Fire Prevention and Safety related to open burning in the City of Geneva. Do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Marks. And we will open for discussion.
I have questions. is this yours?
My
Well, in terms of the draft ordinance?
Yeah.
You could ask, really, of either the city administrator, myself.
Okay, I'll ask you guys.
Dick Gunsch, the community development director, any of us, really. Chief Olson's here, of course.
Okay, so just for me, I need to get a sort of benchmark in terms of size. So we, in the ordinance, we are requiring that the space between the fire and a structure be 25 feet if the fire is 36, if the fuel area is 36 inches, and only 15 feet if the fuel area is 30 inches. How big a fire can you make in something that's 24 inches deep and 36 inches in area?
We're
going to
call the chief up.
Well, I am sort of curious why the chief's not here because I've talked about They are?
Yeah.
Sweet. I'll ask him a question later.
Are you saying how high can the fire go? Or
yeah, so I'm kind of getting at what exactly is a recreational fire. I don't understand what that is. Now, we allow cooking on a grill today. And we're going to allow for something different tomorrow, and I'm trying to get a sense of what that difference is. I'm also trying to get a sense of whether or not 25 feet is even sufficient for what I'm concerned about.
I guess I would respond by saying that the size of the fire is going to be determined by the source container. Mm-hmm. It's going to be contained within a certain diameter and a certain depth. So obviously you can only put so much fuel in there, mm-hmm. only will hold so much wood. Mm-hmm. So that's going to maintain a certain maximum sized fire. We got those dimensions by looking at other ordinances and by talking to other communities. They were the ones that said they really for the most part haven't had a lot of complaints. These are the average sizes. We looked at containers sold in a lot of home improvement stores, portable fireplaces. We looked at the dimensions of those, and that's all of that information combined is where these dimensions came from.
Okay. So what I'm sort of puzzled by or curious about or whatever is we're saying that you can have this fire 15 feet from a structure if the fuel area is 30 inches, but you have to be 10 feet further away if it's 36 inches. And I'm just trying to figure out what we're trying to protect ourselves against. And I want somebody to say we're trying to protect ourselves against smoke coming in the house.
We're also, yes, but we're also primarily trying to protect a combustible material from catching on fire.
Right, okay.
So that, for the minimum distances, is the primary reason.
Okay. The new ordinance also has language in there about burning clean, untreated wood. How is a casual observer going to know if only clean, untreated wood is being burned?
Most people know the difference between wood that they buy that's pre-treated.
No, that's people doing the burning. I'm talking about the person who's living nearby. How do they know the difference?
Person not burning it?
Yeah.
Probably for the smell, the smoke it would generate plus the smell.
Okay.
The person burning it should know the difference.
Right, I agree with that.
Right.
I agree with that. And then the last one, it's sort of on the same subject, but we've got language in there that says the fire must be maintained in such a manner as to minimize the generation of smoke. What's a minimal amount of smoke?
As minimal as can be possible under the atmospheric conditions.
So I guess what I'm getting at is if I have a problem, like if I say this smoke is disturbing me, does it matter how much smoke it is? Is all that counts the fact that the smoke is disturbing me?
I'm not sure what your question is. Does it matter to whom?
Well, what
does it matter to you? Yes.
No. If I call and complain, I'm trying to. To me, the issue. So I don't know. It seems like I'm bopping all over the place with these questions, and I am. But my intent is this: I don't necessarily have a big issue about the health issues. I think there's as much pollutants coming out of a fireplace in a house as there is a fire pit in a backyard. The difference, though, is the smoke from the fire pit is coming into my house.
the smoke from the fireplace is not. Now, yeah, maybe on a fall evening with my windows open, I can smell the fireplace somewhat, but that's quite different than what I've seen when the smoke is coming in thick, and the smell of the smoke is coming in thick and heavy in the family room. And we talked last time about when I wake up the next morning and the family room smells like a doused campfire, that's what I'm trying to get at. So there are people who like to have their windows open in the evening. There are people who like to burn wood in the evening. We're crafting an ordinance to allow the people who want to burn wood to do their thing. What have we got to protect the people who don't want to be bothered by the smoke from doing theirs?
Well, let me clarify by saying this. What you see before you is direction from this city council.
Right.
Staff is not advocating.
I got it.
Allowing this or not. We took direction from the policy discussion meeting that we had and put those suggestions into this ordinance, with the exception of the permitting system, mm-hmm. which was suggested and as a result of staff discussion determined that we did not have the resources to do that. So as far as what is in here, we're looking at information that we found in other communities, either through a survey, through discussions, or looking at their ordinance, that combined with direction from the city council. Mm-hmm. So I don't pretend to defend one way or the other the questions that you're asking.
Right, okay.
But, Craig, I think part of what's in there is I think part of it's been addressed by the hours, not only the hours of burning, but but not only that, but the not burning when it's over, winds over 10 miles an hour, the distances from the neighbor's houses, the distances from your own house to keep people from you know, some of these geniuses from burning their own houses down. We'd like to keep that from happening.
That'd be a big fire.
That'd be a big fire. But I think some of that gets addressed in there, and you know, hopefully just some common sense in being a good neighbor. If you see it going in your neighbor's house, you see somebody coming out and saying, hey, that's blowing in my house, put it out. That would be nice, you know. But I think the hours are a big part of it.
True, for people who want to be able to open their windows after 11, but if I want to open my windows at 6, then that's still a problem. So from my perspective, yes, the city council or the committee of the whole or whatever body it was that addressed this last time directed staff to put together this draft. I was against that, and I think I'm still against it for reasons that I perhaps wasn't totally clear about, but to me it amounts to a nuisance issue. Geneva's a good place to live, work, and raise kids today. You can't do recreational fires today. I don't see it as being any less of a good place to live, work, and raise kids tomorrow if I still can't have a recreational fire. I think there are some facts that we've got to account for, and those facts are if I've got three neighbors that all decide to burn on a fall evening and I'm in the middle of that, I'm going to be at a significant disadvantage. We can talk about hopefully they do this and hopefully they do that or hopefully they don't do the other thing. But at the end of the day, what's changing here is the nuisance factor. We are allowing for, I believe, a certain increase in nuisance factor, and we're telling everybody else just put up with it. And I don't think that that's right. Is the Chief Olson here?
Yeah.
Chief, can I ask you a question? You and I talked about this a few years ago when my teenagers were angling for a fire pit in my backyard, and I was unpopular in my house for yet another reason. And at that time, you told me that the issue was complicated and, in your opinion, not worth pursuing. What's changed in the time between?
The council has given direction that they want us to explore this.
Well, what's your opinion of open burning?
I'm not expressing opinion on this. I'll tell you, as a fire chief, that the provisions that are in here for preventing from spreading are reasonable.
That's good.
You know, assuming people, with expectation of people treated as an informed consumer and follow the directions, it definitely relies on that.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
That's it.
Anybody else? Alderman Brown, I think, was first, then Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, have read this part, and we, as a city, have asked our public safety officers to make subjective judgments. We do it all the time, and it's one of the burdens that we place upon them. When a policeman has to decide whether or not you're driving at excessive speed for the conditions, he has to make a subjective judgment. And here we have the statement, the city may determine and order the extinguishment of any burning that creates a nuisance by the emission of smoke or noxious gases upon a neighboring property or contributes to the hazardous condition to health or safety. Again, a fire officer is going to have to make a subjective judgment. This is what we pay them for, this is what they're hired for, and this is what they're trained for, the police force and the fire department. And I have no doubt that they will do that reasonably. They always have, in my judgment. I've just picked two instances here, one that we're encoding tonight and one which is in the current code about excessive speed for conditions where officers have to make a judgment. I trust them to do that, and I think the ordinance as written, it may to a lawyer look a little bit not quite tight enough, but I have no doubt that at least for the first year, and remember we've said we'll come back and examine this in a year, that this is a reasonable attempt to put in an ordinance in place that a reasonable officer of the city can handle and deal with people. Many times it'll be a question of just job owning. We know that happens. It happens in both the police and the fire department when they stop people for various ordinance problems. I think the wording is quite reasonable at the moment, and as I say, I think the most important thing is that we're going to re-examine this after 1 year and see whether or not, and I'm sure the staff will come back to us if they find that this, the statements that we made here and the way we've written this up is just too much. It's not, it's, they're not able to make reasonable subjective judgments, and they will give us cases, I suppose, that will explain to us why there are some cases where this ordinance is just not carefully enough written to allow them to make a reasonable judgment and to make a reasonable request of people who are burning something which is bothering their neighbors. So at the moment I plan on voting for this, and I know it does put an extra burden on our officers, but they're certainly well trained and have handled this in the past, and I don't have a problem with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have much to add from what Alderman Brown has just said. Other than I know that the fire department has already been involved in a few situations where they've been called. I think that I was informed about one situation on the east side of Geneva where there was a fire, started a fire pit, a small burning situation in a legal fire pit or whatever, late at night, maybe 11 or 12 o'clock at night, because people came home from work very late. And that bothered some next-door neighbors. Well, that would be bothersome. But we've got that covered in this proposed ordinance that they would be prohibited after 11 p.m. So I think that's covered. As far as the odors go, there are some people in town who do have some health difficulties, and I would hope that with the attention that we've given to this subject, that we've been able to get some people interested in being concerned about neighbors who might have various difficulties breathing, and that if they're burning fires in their fire pits that are obnoxious to the neighbors, that they can restrict that and try to hold it down. But I think that we've got so many people already using fire pits, it would be foolish to try to eliminate them all. But I think this is a reasonable proposal, and the staff has put a lot of time into it to come up with some good information from other communities that have been successful in enforcing a fire pit ordinances. And so unless we have any further specifics, I think we ought to move forward. Thank you, Mr. Alderman. Chairman.
Dorothy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a question back to Alderman Malagro's 25 feet. And Mary, if I may kind of pull you into this conversation, you mentioned that you were looking at, or staff or whoever was looking at actually fire pits that were being sold. And they were of that diameter, 36-inch diameter? Is that how that section got put in there, if I may add?
Most of those dimensions came from other ordinances, in addition to looking at the numbers from other ordinances, the diameter of the fire pits, the distance from combustible materials.
I know, because it's very difficult to try to, I mean, I went out there in my yard and tried to figure out where one would actually be placed. So that's the reason, yeah, so that's the reason for my.
Right. So in addition to that, we looked at the, I actually went online, you know, and looked at different models to see what it appeared to be the average, you know, portable device that was sold by local merchants. But primarily, those dimensions came from other ordinances to begin with.
Okay. So it just depends on the diameter of the fire or the actual portable unit that you're talking about.
Correct.
And that's where the 25 feet came in. Because I was confused. I thought that was the restriction for all fires. So that leaves a little bit of an area for someone to have a fire pit. So I think that the I was one of the ones who asked for a more restrictive ordinance, and I think that staff did an excellent job of trying to put together as much information to cover all kinds of issues that could result. And I like the idea that there is a recreational fire prohibited time factor in the ordinance. So. And I think that for 1 year, we could see what happens. And if it's not something that we want to be able to live with the rest of our lives, then we should address it again. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. Anyone else? Alderman Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am very much opposed to the wood-burning fire pits. I have no qualms, I think, if they were either propelled by natural gas or propane, I think I could accept that. I don't think, and if you are going to go in this direction of approving this ordinance, I don't think it's strict enough. I think there probably should be some means whereby if one is going to pursue and purchase one of these products, that it should meet specific standards. And the EPA does have those standards. And I think that possibly should be part of this program, part of this ordinance. I also feel that I don't think the violation, if one does violate this ordinance, that the fine is not severe enough. I think it could be much larger than that. Were you aware that recently Dr. Oz had an expose on this particular issue, and he was violently opposed to fire pits and the manner in which they're used, because I feel that they are difficult to impose for as far as restrictions and as far as the means of being health issues. Certainly, I think, plays an extreme role here in my experiences. And it's very difficult, I think, for the means of having to restrict and to control the ordinance in itself. So those are my feelings. If there is no more discussion on this issue at this point in time, I would like to create an amendment to this ordinance, if that would be proper for me to do at this time.
Absolutely.
All right. I would certainly like to have the ordinance amended. I would suspect that it would be difficult for one who already has a fire pit to have to be imposed by the restriction that I'm going to ask for. And I would like to have the amendment read that only wood-burning units that would be certified by the United States Environment Protection Agency may be installed. The other amendment is I would like to amend the violations fees. It says here shall be punished by a fine of not less than $50.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Shouldn't we have one amendment at a time?
I believe you're correct, Sam. I think we have to go with one amendment at a time, Alderman Singer.
Okay, fine.
The amendment needs a second.
Would you like to restate the First Amendment?
The First Amendment is I would like to, for only if one is going to have a wood-burning unit, it should be certified by the United States Environmental Protection Agency. If they're not, then they can't be purchased.
Mr. Chairman.
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
The amendment, Sam, did you just second that?
No, sir. I said there is no second, so.
Oh, I want to understand the amendment better before I
consider it. I understand. I'm What he's saying is he wants to amend it so that all the fire pits that are purchased have to be EPA approved. I don't have any idea. I don't even know what an EPA restriction is on a fire pit.
So I'm willing to second it if such a thing exists.
I don't know that they do.
It's not.
I don't have any idea. We don't have that information in front of us, so I don't know.
I have a question, too, Mr. Chairman. Does that mean that the existing fire pits must be EPA certified?
No,
or does that mean that all new fire pits that are purchased
I would,
from
yeah, all,
any?
All new would be very difficult to impose this kind of restriction
okay.
on those who are presently using these fire pits.
So that means that any fire pit that is purchased from any retailer or wholesaler or internet
online
should be EPA certified.
Correct.
And we don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest that we probably don't move this forward, considering that we don't have any information on what we're talking about here.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just add one point. The ordinance also allows for fire pits, homemade fire pits. So it's not just portable devices, and that would have no EPA regulation certification potential.
Yeah, what he's saying is that amendment would eliminate that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have no information on what, I don't know what any of the, we don't have the EPA regulations in front of us. I don't think we can vote on something that we have no information on at all.
We did not come across any EPA certified portable devices in any of our research.
Judging by the face the chief is making, I don't think he's seen it either, so I don't know that we can. Is there a second at all? I think the amendment dies for lack of a second. Alderman Singer, do you have another amendment?
Yes, I would like to amend the fee for violation and changing that to $100 as opposed to $50.
I'll second that.
As a minimum?
No less than?
The one that it where it reads,
no less
shall than. Be punished by a fine of not less than $100 nor more than $750. For any one offense.
Okay, the amendment was made by Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Maladra. Does everyone understand the amendment as read by Alderman Singer?
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Hill.
This is a relatively new ordinance, not brand new, but we have imposed some regulations that are going to be new in our community and misunderstood for a few months, at least until spring when the weather turns around, when fire pits can be used a little bit more. And I would think that we need to provide a learning curve, and that initial violations of to be fined $100 is a little bit more of a slap on the face than a slap on the hands, which would be $50, in my opinion. I would like to see it sustained at $50.
Thank you,
thank
Alderman
you, Mr.
Hill.
Chairman.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Alderman Hill's comments about the learning curve. And also, we didn't actually bring this forward. The citizens brought it to us to talk about, because I think right now a lot of the fires that get reported are neighbor-to-neighbor disputes where people are not willing to go next door and say, that's really bothering me. And I think putting a hefty fine on that is, it might not be fair for the first time, when it might be more of a neighbor dispute than a nuisance dispute. So I would like to keep it at the 50 also.
Yeah, and I think, Craig, you're next, but I just want to, while you mentioned neighbor-to-neighbor disputes, one of the discussions that I had, and I think we've kind of gone off on this I shudder to call it the odor tangent, as we've kind of turned this into a huge odor discussion over the last couple of meetings, but when we started to go down this path, and it's got to be at least a year ago when this first got brought up, and I remember having a lot of discussions with the police and fire department, we have this 11 o'clock clause in here, and I think that may make a lot of these disputes go away, because I remember in a lot of my discussions with the police department, when they get called out for these fire pits, it's not an odor discussion. I shudder to call it a beer discussion. It's let's shut it down, because what goes with the fire is about 15 beers and a whole bunch of noise. So police department comes out and says, okay, you boys are done, shut it down and put that thing out and everybody go to bed. And that's really what happens. So I'm thinking maybe 11 o'clock is going to shut down the people are coming home late, they fire this thing up at midnight, and all of a sudden they're making noise at 2 in the morning. That may keep the police and fire department away from and I know that we're often in a different area with the odor, and I know that that's absolutely a problem, but I think the majority of the calls the police department was getting was more of a noise situation and people not wanting to go next door because there's 12 guys out there who have been drinking for 7 hours, and that's I think we kind of put the kibosh on that, which is probably the best possible plan. So sorry about that. Alderman Lodger.
Okay. So now that you mentioned neighbor-to-neighbor disputes, I have to say that when I was referring earlier to my neighbor burning a fire and the smell coming into my house, I was speaking figuratively, so if you're watching, I don't have a problem with any of my neighbors.
So many neighbors. I don't.
Second, so speaking, I was using the odor just as an indication that this is
absolutely,
a violation that comes into your house.
Absolutely, yes.
This is not a violation that's external to your house, like a speeding car on the street or anything like that. This is a nuisance that comes into your property.
Right.
Okay, so that's the issue there. And that's why I think the fine needs to be severe enough for people to get the first time that they ought not to burn that way. $50 buys me dinner downtown once. $100 gets my attention. I didn't say my neighbor's attention this time. This gets my attention. And we got to show that we're serious about this, that it's not a light matter, particularly because it's difficult to come out and say, well, we've measured the amount of smoke you're producing and we judge it to be too much. When it's a noise issue, we can bring out a decibel meter and we can say, yep, you're in violation, you're nailed. When you've got a problem with smoke, it's a very subjective determination.
I don't think the chief needs a decibel meter. He can count beer cans from his car and not even get out.
Well, the beer thing actually makes it burnt now. So I think that the learning curve is enhanced with a more attention-grabbing fine.
Anyone else?
Bob.
Oh, sorry, I'll remark.
You know, the way I read this, it doesn't say the first offense is $50. There's a range of fees. I mean, I don't know how it's determined whether it's going to be 50 or 100. I mean, if it is that bad, I would think that the person who's responding is going to be able to judge and say $100 because you've really crossed the line here. I mean, this ordinance doesn't say first offense 50, second 300. You know, it's not written that way. It's written.
Good point.
And that's my point with, you know, we've given enough latitude in here that if it's minor, it's a slap on the wrist. If an officer or fire department personnel see that it's more, they can go more rather than just saying $50. So I'm not sure if $100 is going to make that much of a difference at this point, considering we didn't say first offense 50. I would agree with everybody here if we said first offense was 50, yeah, then I probably might be a little bit more leaning towards the way of going 100. But this ordinance is not written that way. It's
That's
a range
point.
Of fees.
You're right.
That leaves it to the person who responds to the severity of the problem. And I prefer that, actually, unless we were going to go with a strict schedule that said first offense, second offense, third offense, fourth offense, you're out. That's just my feeling on this.
Good point.
Anyone else? Let's take a roll call on the amendment. Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to speak to the amendment? Let's take a roll call on the vote on the amendment, please.
Chuck Brown?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Nay.
Sam Hill?
Nay.
Craig Maladra?
Nay.
Richard Marks?
Nay.
Dean Kilberg?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Nay.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Nay.
Motion dies 9-1, 8-1. So we are back to our original ordinance. Is there anyone else from the dais who'd like to speak to the original ordinance? Is there anyone from the audience who'd like to speak to the ordinance? Would you please come to the dais and give us your name and address, please?
Sure. It's Julie Jager, 772 Lewis. You've all heard my feelings on this before. I spoke on this before, so I won't bother you with more details. But this is a quality of life issue for us. You talk about the smell. There is a smell. It smells. Smoke smells. And I'll give you a great example. Last month when a fire from smoke from a fire in Wisconsin, several hundred miles away, blew into our area, and everyone was like shutting their windows. Ew, that smell and gross. What is that smell? Well, that was clean burning wood. It was trees. So this is, it smells. And there's no, I mean, I would be sad to know that people are putting bonfires up to drink beer, and then we're going to break that up, and then they drive off. I'm not clear on that example. But it's a quality of life issue. There are a lot of people opposed to this. I think this ordinance makes it nearly impossible for people like me to call up my fire department after trying to find the person that's burning and try to put it out. They're going to have to come out there with a tape measure. They're going to have to see, you know, judge. I mean, this isn't my neighbor who's burning. This is the guy that's four blocks away who's burning. And I don't know that person. So that's why I call the fire department, because we have an ordinance that right now prohibits open burning, yet it still goes on. So think of my neighborhood like you would think of that smoke that blew in from Wisconsin last month. On many nights, that's the way it's going to be if you allow open burning. There's a lot of people that have these fire pits, and they'll fire them up, and they don't care what they're burning in there. They're going to burn what they have. That's what they're doing now. So I don't know why you think they're going to change their behavior. You talk about permitting, that you don't have the resources for that, but we're supposed to impose more duties on our police and fire who have limited resources. So that doesn't really make a lot of sense either. And maybe there should be a permitting. Maybe it would make me happy if you could bring people in, give them the ordinance, educate them, and say, hey, you know, we're going to let you do this, but here's what the restrictions are. So it's just a couple of thoughts I had. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Anyone from the audience?
I always like the perimeter show.
I do too.
My name is Robert Langness, and I live at 33 Kane Street with my wife. Obviously, besides the health issue that she's experiencing with, has to do with strictly smoke. And we have two fireplaces in our house, and we converted one to gas only because we couldn't even anymore burn real wood inside of our house. The second thing, we live in an old neighborhood. We have a wooden house. Without going into any particular situations, we have a 6-foot stockade fence. We have wood chips in our whole backyard due to the fact of we have a little mini woods, you might say, and mainly to keep our dog in. But basically, the concern we have, our neighbor, I don't mind mentioning our neighbor, sought to have a bonfire, and it's camouflaged as the word fire pit. And coming out to our veranda in the back, the flames were at least 6 feet tall. And, of course, with the trees and so forth and the sparks going up in the trees, there was definitely a concern. We had called. I called out. We were friends with the neighbors. And I called out to this particular person and had asked them to please put the fire out. Their comment was, well, how am I going to do that? I said, well, with the garden hose. I said, we're very concerned. Our houses are very close. That particular house sits on a 50 by 100-foot lot, and the house behind us sits on a 50 by 100-foot lot. Our lot's a little bit bigger, but not much. And so she said, well, I don't know what to do. So I called the fire department. They put out the fire. Within an hour and a half, it was resumed again. And I believe they were fined a second time, if I'm not mistaken. The neighbor behind us, who we've talked about our situation with health, has understood the situation. And even though he bought a new fire pit, he has not used it since. But prior to that, he was burning all things, scraps, you name it, and so forth. And so I don't know if we're going to have an issue with the neighbor next door. I don't mind saying this publicly, but we do have a fire concern with leaves, the wood chips, the wooden fence, and with the closeness of the houses. If you can picture this one house I'm describing, they are 22 feet from their garage side yard to the house behind them. And if you go by your ordinance legally, I believe if I heard you right, they could not have a fire pit.
Right. Right.
Prior to that, they were using their fire pit on city property because their fence happens to be on the property line, actually over the property line, that goes into the easement. And that, when they were using it there, was about 7 feet from the neighbor's house. I believe they're aware of the situation. We have not had any problems since, to be honest with you. But I think that when you look at this, in the older part of the city of Geneva, where the houses are wood, they're small lots, and smoke does travel. We live up from Chrissy. There's a family there that has fires occasionally. They're, I would say, more like campfires. And depending upon the wind, we can smell it in our house. And we have thermal windows throughout, and they're not open. It's central air or it's heat. So, but we can smell smoke in our house. So I appreciate your consideration. I know the health issue is not everybody has that problem, but my wife has, through Mayo Clinic, has been diagnosed with many concerns, and that's my case. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lane. Anyone else?
Steve Persinger, 1635 Caneville Road in Geneva. Because you've heard two negatives come about it, I wanted you to hear a positive. I have a fire pit in my backyard, and it was built. It's not a portable one. I have a screen on it, and I put a snuffer pan on the end of the night to put the fire out. I don't go past 11 because I don't stay up past 7. So,
you can't, huh?
Yeah, used to, but can't anymore. But, you know, I buy firewood at Geneva Firewood, and I call that clean firewood. Kiln dried, and I'm not the type of person that would burn on a windy evening. Haven't done that. I did burn this weekend because it was beautiful out. Yes, I had my food by it, too. So, I burn clean wood. I haven't had any complaints from my neighbors. And when you drive around town, you can see a lot of fire pits in people's backyards. I probably just burn on weekends, quite frankly. But I try to be safe, and if I had a neighbor complain to me, I would work with them on it. So there are good things, in my opinion, of fire pits. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Is there anyone else?
All right, my name is Pat Jager. I reside at 772 Lewis Road in Geneva. And as I mentioned before when I was here the last time, I think if any of you have done your homework and looked into this issue, that you would all know that wood smoke is a dangerous air pollutant. It's well documented in scientific literature. Wood smoke is dangerous, and it remains chemically active in the human body 4 times longer than cigarette smoke. And I also think, as maybe a result of the last time I spoke to this group, that I have an interest in our senior population here in Geneva Township for a variety of reasons. Roughly 5% of the entire population of the United States suffers from what they call COPD. And COPD is primarily chronic bronchitis and emphysema, primarily, and some other lung diseases. But that 5% of the entire population, those 5% of cases, is lumped almost entirely in citizens who are aged 50 years and older. So it's needless to say, the vast majority of the population of senior citizens in this country, and I would assume as well as this township, suffer from COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, I believe they refer to it as. Besides COPD, they also, in conjunction with that, suffer from other cardiovascular diseases. Certain levels of wood smoke may not obviously affect you, may not obviously affect me, but they do affect, it does affect, it greatly affects that segment of our population, senior citizens, who suffer from COPD. Older adults are likely to have pre-existing lung and heart disease and are therefore more affected by wood smoke, the kind of smoke that's generated from any fire pit. respiratory defenses decline with age. So a young person is certainly more able to, you know, to withstand smoke from a fire pit or any smoke for that matter. And older adults, senior citizens in particular, are not. It greatly impacts the senior population. Wood smoke compromises the function of the cells within the human lungs. It also compromises cells involved in your immune defenses, and it increases susceptibility to bacteria and viral infections in the lungs, which carry a very serious prognosis for a lot of older Americans. Exposure to wood smoke compromises lung capacity, causes additional constriction within your lungs and airways to a point requiring medical attention for a lot of senior citizens who suffer from COPD. Wood smoke confined in a residential area is a serious health issue. And I think you need to take that into consideration when you contemplate amending the existing ordinance that you have. As I said before, the last time that I was here, it's been my observation throughout life. And don't get me wrong, I understand the attraction of a fire in a fire pit. But think of the number of times that you've been around a campfire or a fire pit, and how many individuals who are sitting enjoying that fire sit downwind of the fire so they can hit a full blast of the smoke that comes off of that. Nobody does. It's not even not many. It's no one, because you just simply can't stand it. So whatever you do here tonight or whatever you do here in the future, you have to keep in mind the needs of the senior population of this community. I think it's vitally important. And Alderman Brown was right when he said earlier that a lot of lawyers may not agree with this ordinance. You know, given the number of restrictions and the measurements and the distances and the subjectivity of it, it's probably unenforceable. Maybe it's intended to be that way. But it's so vague, it's unconstitutional. And I really think you need to take a closer look at some of the restrictions that you're applying here. One in particular, and I think this is supported by the comment of Mr. Persinger, he's in bed before 11 o'clock. So am I. And I like to sleep on beautiful fall evenings with my windows open. So maybe instead of having it cut off at 11 o'clock, maybe we should think about cutting it off at 10 o'clock. You know, so those older citizens like us in the township, you know, have an opportunity to sleep in peace. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I had a question for Mr. Mr. Jager, what's your position then on fireworks in the city of Geneva?
I'm entirely opposed to it. Entirely opposed to fireworks. They're dangerous. Number one, they're against state law. You know, they're against the city ordinance. Besides that, the smoke and whatnot that's generated from fireworks, the sulfur is certainly as obnoxious, if not more obnoxious, than the pollutants that are generated from a fire pit. Thank you.
Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Lodger.
So I've heard from a couple of people that we should do this because there's so many people who have fire pits already, and I got to tell you, that argument is the weakest out of everything that I've heard. We should allow this illegal activity because so many people are doing it. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. My kids are pressing for a different sort of change based on the fact that so many people are doing it, and I'm resisting that. It's just interesting to me. If we do nothing, we're not prohibiting anything that isn't already prohibited. This is not an act of this city council deciding to make something illegal. It's already illegal. It would be an act of this city council just leaving it the way it is. Instead, what we have is a bunch of people saying that because I am breaking the law, I want you to change the law, which doesn't hold a whole lot of water in my book as a reason to do something. In fact, I think that we should look at it the other way and say, you know, why is it that so many of these people don't know what the law is and figure out what the education, what steps we can take to educate them, because after we make this, if we make this change, we got a whole lot of teaching to do, because we now put all these restrictions on people about the distance that it has to be and all that other stuff. So if there's been a breakdown in education in terms of you can't do it at all, I think that we got to take some note there and realize that we've got a lot of work to do to make them understand the framework in which they can operate going forward.
See, I disagree, because what we have on the books right now is an open burning ordinance that was put in for leaf burning. We don't have an ordinance that addresses this. That was put in far before we had fire pits.
Actually,
now we have something we have to address.
Actually, what I see is we have no open burning, period, but we have some small change to allow for a grill.
I disagree. I think we have to address something that people want to have, which we do all the time. Citizens want to do this. We have to address it. So that's what we're doing. We're addressing something that didn't previously exist. We didn't have it.
Fire pits didn't exist.
The commercially sold fire pits didn't exist, and now they're everywhere.
Well, I understand, but fire pits were in places otherwise. I don't know.
I understand that, but now you've got people commercially purchasing fire pits that weren't around before. So now, I think we're addressing that. I think we've done a pretty good job with that.
So are we saying that you can do it in a commercially sold thing only? Can you dig a hole in the ground?
No, but we've addressed that too.
Surrounded by sand and all that?
We have addressed that too.
Right, but that we could do before. So what I'm getting at is I think it was clear before. You can't burn anything.
See, I disagree. I don't think it was clear. We'll agree to disagree. I don't believe it was clear. Rich?
Craig, maybe I was wrong, but the way I understood it before is you could have a cooking fire. You could have an open pit cooking fire, and that led to confusion also. This is just tightening it down. I mean, everybody had just marshmallows and hot dogs sitting out there around a 24-inch diameter, and it was allowed technically.
Well, my take on that is we had to make some sort of exemption so that you could have a Weber grill. And in doing that and opening the door that little bit for the Weber grill, some people charged through that opening and decided to put a hot dog next to them while they had the bonfire with the beer. So that, yes, we're trying to tighten it up, but it's got just as much draft and openings as the other ordinance did.
But
I think we all understand that previously the intent was you can't burn open, period. That's all.
That's thank all you, I Mr. mean. Chairman. Actually, and not to rebut you, but I would say that when I look at the people in this room, these are people who know what's the ordinance. But I would guarantee if we went door to door, street by street, and you said to people,
right,
are fire pits illegal or legal? Most people would say they're legal, either because they sell them or because no one ever complains. So right. I don't know that people feel bound by an ordinance that they're not aware of.
Right.
And same with this, all these restrictions. It's always our challenge of how to get the word out. And I don't know what the answer is, because there's a small group of people here that are all very well-informed citizens. I only got two emails from this whole topic, so I'm not sure how to get the word out to people that we're discussing it, or it used to be against law, and now we're discussing that we might open it. But I don't think that people think it's against the law. That would be my true belief, because most people wouldn't do stuff that was, if they knew it really was against the law, they wouldn't do it.
You would hope. Alderman Gilbert.
Come on.
People speed when
I just need a clarification. The ordinance reads odors and fumes, escapes or emissions from any source whatsoever, fumes or odors that are detrimental or injurious to the property, health, safety, comfort, or welfare of the inhabitants of the community is hereby declared to be a public nuisance as determined by the city and is punishable by a fine. The city may determine the order. I won't read any further, but I guess I want a clarification on the fireworks on a regular basis at Kane County and how that will be treated, because technically there could be some residents that find that to be offensive. And it's producing, obviously, odors, it's producing noise, and could be considered, as Mr. Jager pointed out, as a public safety issue. In other words, is that something that we could...
Not today. That's not germane to today's topic.
I mean, it could be interpreted. I don't think there's anything in the ordinance that would prevent that from being interpreted.
So. No, we're not discussing fireworks today. We're not going to open the door to a three-hour fireworks discussion.
I'm just saying, though.
I understand. I think
that
And unfortunately, we have to discuss that with the county. I understand where you're going with it, but we can't kick that door open.
The words he quoted are in a section specifically called regulations applying to fires.
Okay.
So it's clearly not germane to that section.
Okay. Alderman Flanagan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if I want to be a come argumentative, but I was just going to say with the curtain ordinance, the way it reads, we could throw, like someone mentioned about the Weber Grill, we could throw it out in the middle of the property and put firewood on top of it and call it, and in essence, they're doing the same thing as we're trying to put some sort of restriction by enacting this ordinance so that they have screening, they have appropriate hours. There's more, this ordinance somewhat tightens it up, as someone else mentioned. You know, right now, somebody else, like someone said, you could put out the Weber Grill and in essence, create a fire pit just the way it is. So you're not enabling, you're enabling that person rather than unenabling them by putting this ordinance.
Alderman Hill.
That's the way I look.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think maybe we've forgotten that the individual that brought this issue to the Committee of the Whole is one who was visited by the fire department because the fireplace that he built in his backyard was emitting some smoke. And a neighbor complained, and he did not know about any ordinance. And he is one who is very interested in having some tightening. Quite frankly, I've been and discussed this proposal with him in detail. He's thinks it's a good proposal, and he said that from what the information I give him, he's going to have to do some rebuilding of his fireplace, his outdoor fireplace. And he's very willing to do that, to comply. So I think this is a step in the right direction that that individual is taking, and that I think we could make a step in the right direction by tightening up the fire pit regulations and then make certain that we get the word out. I believe I talked to Mr. Jager at one time and in his office at the township building, and he said that he told me that the weekend after we had the discussion about fire pits, that there were very few fire pits, very few fires lit that weekend or maybe the next weekend or two after that. And that's because it hit the newspapers. So we did educate people, and I think we need to do more education, and hopefully we can figure out a way to communicate this ordinance to the total community to make sure that everybody understands it. I know that we probably would put it into our newsletter, but I don't know if we want to. I don't know how else we could communicate that to the community, but I think that will be very important to make sure that that is accomplished. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Alderman Hill. Anybody else? Okay, why don't we take a roll call on this?
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Nay.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-2. We are on to item E, to recommend the draft ordinance amending Title I, Chapter 5, City Council, Section 151, election term and general duties related to number of aldermen.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Brown. Other way around. Sorry about that. I'll back off. Okay.
No pride
any
about
questions?
It.
Any questions? Sorry. Any questions? Hearing none, seeing none.
This.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes 9-0. We are down to item F, recommend acceptance of second quarter fiscal year 2011-12 goals and status report.
Second.
Moved by Alderman Kilburg, seconded by Alderman Flanagan.
Any question?
Doing anything with this, or are we just answer?
Okay.
Just the goal, just the goals acceptance. Do we have any questions? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes 9-0. That brings us down to new business. Who has new business? Dorothy, nothing?
Oh, no.
Really?
Really?
Oh, Dorothy's always good for something. Okay.
No.
Anyone in the audience?
The council go on record that we are cheering for Geneva.
We are cheering for Geneva.
Go Vikings.
Go Vikings. Absolutely. Zach?
What are the Halloween trick-or-treat hours?
Zach?
Oh, Halloween trick-or-treat hours. What are they?
Suggested.
Next Monday?
Yep.
3 until 7. Turn your porch light out and then leave everybody alone.
Downtown trick-or-treating
This
Thursday from
2 to 5. I think Mr.
Downtown trick-or-treating from 2 to 5.
This Thursday.
This Thursday? 2 to 5 downtown trick-or-treating. And Sam Hill is giving out beer again for all the adults.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Zach,
just teenagers.
Where?
Just teenagers.
Oh, jeez.
Evening. Thank you for that segue.
Yeah,
I am Zachary Ploppert, 514 North Pine Street in Geneva. I'll keep my remarks brief and to the point. In light of recent events and in recognition of Red Ribbon Week here in Geneva, it is time for the city of Geneva to send a message that underage drinking will not be tolerated within our city.
Where do you go, Sam?
I urge the council and the committee of the whole to raise the fine for underage drinking from $100 to $250 in addition to 25 hours community service. By adding community service, there will be a deterrent for those whose parents may pay the fine for them, and it will make this punishment more meaningful. I realize the number of fines issued by the police department for underage drinking may not be staggeringly high in our community, but that is no reason to not raise this, and there's not any reason to not send this message. I urge the city, the council, the committee of the whole to take this opportunity to send this message and do all that we can to curb underage drinking here in the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach.
I think, Mr. Ploppert, stay for questions?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think our illustrious mayor would like to...
I'll defer to the alderman, of course.
The first question I would have is, under state law, which is pretty constrictive and restrictive, do cities have the ability to set their own fines for something like this, which is an egregious offense?
Yes. To my knowledge, after contacting the chief of police and city administrators from Batavia, St. Charles, and other municipalities around the area, that they all have varying fines and punishments for this. Really, almost none of them match.
Well, are they typically more than ours? Or?
They range. Some go all the way down to 50. Some go all the way up to 250 and above. Some communities require community service. Some do not.
Thank you, Mr. Walker.
Alderman Flanagan.
I think the community service is an excellent idea to put in there. I offer volunteers, and Alderman Hill, I'm sure, would love to have teenagers out there helping with the cemetery.
Zach is one of them. He already did.
And he doesn't drink.
Voluntarily,
that's
yes.
True. Yes. Voluntarily, yeah.
So I'm all in favor of for including...
Spend an volunteer. Afternoon with Alderman Hill, you'll drink.
Only if you're
over there. Enough, huh?
I would like to recommend, if there's no objection, that this item be put on the October 31st policy discussion agenda so that we could obviously discuss it in greater detail and then provide clearer direction to staff if it's the will of this council to either draft an ordinance reflecting those changes, perhaps even invite others to participate in the discussion. So,
Mr. Chairman, I agree, Mr. Mayor, and Zach, thank you. I know that you've been concerned about this. You and I have communicated about it, and I have some of the details of what the other communities have charged, so I can bring those to the October 31st meeting. And those are directly from Chief Mexen, so it's fascinating. But I would also like to include at that October 31st meeting a discussion, maybe it would be separate, about an enforcement of ordinance or creation of an ordinance to assess fines and punishment to adults who knowingly allow teenagers to imbibe alcoholic beverages on their property. And if we don't already have that, then I think we ought to discuss it. If we do have it, then we ought to make sure it gets enforced very strenuously, and perhaps as strenuously as the fines that Zach has proposed. So we put some teeth into that and make sure that the adults who allow teenagers to drink on their property are really taken to task and made examples of and fined seriously. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Marks.
Just one point, and I'm fine with discussing this on October 31st, but I guess the one thing I'd like brought to that meeting then, if it's possible, is if there's any state or county rules when we have community service, so that we realize if we are going to put excess rules and regulations for the staff. I mean, I'm not sure if two aldermen can qualify to watch community service. So that's just my question.
Ms.
McKittrick and I are discussing by the city attorney and or in a...
if we could just have that information, I think that would be helpful at that meeting.
I mean, you know, if it's not workable...
That's why I said that to bring that information along. It may not be workable, and that's what I'd like to see. I'm all for the fines. That's no problem. And I'm not against community service. I just want to make sure it's not going to be an unworkable issue for the city.
Mary? That doesn't necessarily mean it would be just for groups. It would be community service could be, you know, city.
Right. I don't know what the rules
hall,
are.
You know,
yeah, but he saw your face when you saw those volunteers.
Quite a bit of volunteers. I was more in Alderman Hill's side.
I'm just
I need all the help I can get.
I was just going to say that we'll see if we can get our city attorney here, because I'm sure that there's got to be a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And I do know that there's a difference between the authority that we have as a non-home rule community and home rule communities. So I'm not sure that we can go as far as some might like. But again, I'll leave those legal questions up to doing some research and getting our city attorney here.
That's all I ask.
Well, and also now, I think it was in the paper yesterday or today, that now there's a big push not to put teens in any detention centers. So they're already recommending community service and therapy and stuff like that. So we probably won't be able to make our stricter than what the state is doing.
Okay. Remind.
But I applaud that you're.
Oh, I do too.
You are going for this, and you have a passion about it. I didn't want to raise the fines because I believed many parents would just pay them. So, but the community service part actually handles that.
Thank you.
Remind Alderman Hill that as aldermen, we are sworn officers of the city. So I suspect there's no problem with having community service under the...
That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, great. I don't have a problem. If we are interested in a resource on the subject of teenage drinking, Mr. Chick Williams, is that his name? Yes. Is a good resource person who works with the schools and would provide some information if we would like to do that.
Good friend of the community.
I have a different question, totally.
Yeah, so absolutely.
You know, is it under new business? I'm not sure if we're done with this discussion yet or not. Mary, I noticed we've been getting a lot of emails in regards to the personal property replacement tax funds. Is the council looking? Would it be helpful if the council as a whole takes a vote or some type of resolution stating our opposition to this, or does that really fall on deaf ears?
I think at this point in time, it won't make any difference. I think what will make a difference is to have your phone calls. If you can stop by our legislators' offices, even better, but at least if you can call them and let them know that this is going to have a detrimental effect on us, because we will be subsidizing those salaries. Yeah. I know that there was a statement that came out of Springfield that local communities should fund these salaries because they're local salaries. But it's a different government agency than us. It's It's the school district or the schools and not the municipalities. So they seem to be a little confused in Springfield as to the differences in local governments. But nonetheless, at this point in time, because there are two bills in committee ready to come out as we speak, I think the best thing that you could do is to make a phone call and let them know that this is detrimental. It's $80,000 to us that will just disappear overnight.
Do we know how our representatives and state senators for are leaning, which way they're voting?
I don't know that. Okay. I'm sorry. No.
I mean, because if we know that they're leaning towards it, I mean, it's well worth the call. But if we make the call and they say, well, I'm opposed to it anyways, I'd rather find somebody who's, you know, leaning towards it to bend their ear than someone who already says.
You did see the letters.
Yeah, it is a proposal by one certain side of the aisle, if you will.
Yes, that's what I'm seeing.
I've spoken with our representatives who are supportive of our position.
That's what I thought, yeah.
But there is a strong lobby on the other side, as we all know. And it's a bigger cluster than we really think it is.
Well, I think Mary hits a point. Yeah. You know, this is not benefiting the city. Where they're taking the funds from is not really helping the cities. It's helping a totally different taxing agency.
That's motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Mark, seconded by Singer. All in favor?
Aye.
Good night, folks.